Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritzer coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me now on the phone, attorney Nicole Dirks, who is an attorney with Foster Swift, Collins and Smith in Lansing. Good evening, Nicole. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. Doing very well. How are you today?
Good. I wanted to get a hold of you after reading a few articles and having several conversations on this show with folks in different aspects of the medical marijuana laws in the state of Michigan. And you have a specialty in that area, have done a lot of work in that area, so you were the perfect source to come to. So I appreciate your time this evening. The article that prompted my call initially was out of the Detroit News, where eight people had been arrested during a raid at a medical marijuana facility and a dispensary in the Detroit area and were bound over for trial. And this brought yet another example to me of what appears to me to be some gray areas in the law. And if I'm wrong, I'm happy to be corrected. But it comes up routinely on this show. You said that you had seen that article. And of course, this is just one example. But do we have a lot of areas that are still unclear in terms of the medical marijuana laws in the state of Michigan?
Absolutely, Cheryl. I would say I don't know of one area of this law that is clear at this time. I keep describing it to clients and to others as it's really kind of the Wild West out there at this time. It's unclear in many, many different areas of my practice in both employment regarding gun ownership. Are you able to drive if you're a medical marijuana user? Certainly townships and cities have concerns about zoning. And how do we deal with the clubs that are popping up? I've had clients or potential clients, I should say, come in and ask how can they become a distributor and sell or provide the product to dispensaries. Certainly, maybe that's the only clear thing that we know that that's not allowed at this time. And overall, the federal law bans the possession or use of marijuana. So that kind of overarches all of our state law. And it's just really unclear what protections there are, if any, at this time. In the criminal arena, we do know that having a medical marijuana card and being prescribed medical marijuana can be asserted as an affirmative defense. But even on that, it's almost a judge-by-judge, case-by-case basis to know where you stand. A defendant may be able to use marijuana like a prescription while on probation. Other judges may outlaw it altogether, even if you have a prescription for it, and it really helps with a particular health condition.
Well, and I had a friend of mine ask me the other day, wait a minute, isn't it illegal to possess it? So how are the dispensaries, where are they getting it? I mean, and that's what you just alluded to.
Yes, that's an unanswered question. It's almost as though there's no protection for providing the product, but people are allowed to have it. The law does indicate that you can have a certain number of plants and that you can have a certain quantity, but it's a very, very small amount. So there's really not authority for the dispensaries at this time.
Well, and I did see, I mean, this keeps going and going, and if this is a field, as we've talked about, that you are working a lot on, just this week, the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, filed court papers in supporting prosecutors in both Oakland County and Isabella County on separate court cases trying to seek clarification of the Medical Marijuana Act. So I guess I'm gratified to know it's not just me that's confused.
Certainly not, and I'm familiar with both of those cases and the situations with those counties. I know in particular Bill Schuette is also supporting a prosecutor in Grand Traverse County on a driving case that also seeks to clarify medical marijuana laws. At this time, it's really black-letter law that it's zero tolerance for you having THC in your system and being allowed to drive. However, a medical marijuana user may not be under the influence of the marijuana that they use, but they may be barred from driving. And I think that the people who are obtaining the medical marijuana cards and prescriptions simply do not know all of the risks that they're taking by getting that card. They think it gives them immunity, and it most certainly does not at this time.
Boy, I think that's a valid point that hasn't been brought out on this show before. I'm pleased to hear that. Kind of related to what we're talking about with the use, Senator Rick Jones from Grand Ledge, who's a frequent guest on this show, has introduced a bill to ban what he calls marijuana bars in just what you're talking about, that a user would go in and smoke marijuana at a facility and then get behind the wheel and drive away.
Right. I think that there is an exemption at this time with the way that the House bill is drafted for hospices or nursing homes or other types of places where marijuana is legally dispensed. But again, a big concern for our communities.
Well, and as he talked, and there was actually a case in the Charlotte area, a month or so ago, time flies, but I'm thinking about a month ago, where a woman did just that, got in her car and drove. She had some problems, and she actually called the police and said, "I'm too messed up to drive." That's my words, but paraphrasing. So it is occurring out there, and if that should happen, a case like that with an accident, I believe I'm correct that you can be charged with operating while under the influence.
Absolutely. And I think if someone is even attesting that they are too messed up or something of that nature to drive, that's a clear-cut crime because you can't be operating while under the influence of a controlled substance. I have had also potential clients come in for advice regarding how do I go to my employment and take the drug test that they make us take every year. Even though I have a prescription for this, can I be fired for it? Can I own a gun? I mean, there are a lot of questions and concerns which remain unanswered at this time.
When we had just a few minutes to speak yesterday, you talked about, I mentioned to you, let me back up, driving in downtown Lansing towards the Capitol from, somewhere around 127 down, the number of marijuana dispensaries is staggering. And you mentioned a number to me that really surprised me in the Lansing area.
Yes, I can't recall the source, and I was actually looking for it just before we got on the air here. I was looking, but I know at one point I found that there were 62 medical marijuana dispensaries in the city of Lansing that were able to pop up before the moratorium was adopted. So I believe there
are
62. It's incredible.
Which makes me question, and just from a common sense point of view, as we're talking and I'm thinking, it makes me question the intent of what the law was for and what's happening out there.
Yes, I would say at this time we could possibly agree that the law is not doing what the voters intended. A good example of this is a case that just was decided and is now being appealed. It was decided over in the Western District in federal court. Now being appealed to the Sixth Circuit, but it's regarding a patient who is just kind of exactly the sympathetic patient that this law was designed to help. He's a medical marijuana user, terminal brain cancer, worked at Walmart, and was terminated as a result of a drug test where they have a zero tolerance policy for someone who tested positive for drugs. And the court found that the employer can fire someone at will for this type of use of marijuana, even though he has a legal right to use it for exactly this reason, to alleviate his pain due to cancer. And again, that's yet to be decided by the Sixth Circuit, but a very interesting snapshot of where we are. I think the voters hopefully intended that for patients like that, he would not suffer a penalty for using the drug that alleviated his pain. And certainly, many, many, many proponents of medical marijuana can argue that someone who takes Vicodin regularly or other types of prescription narcotics may be even more substantially influenced than someone who uses medical marijuana to alleviate their pain.
Well,
yet they can drive, they can own guns, and they can do all kinds of things, and they're not necessarily going to be terminated from their employment for doing so.
It seems like this law alone is going to keep our courts crowded for quite a while.
Indeed. No doubt about it.
And I is the answer more legislation to clarify things like Rick Jones, the bill Senator Jones is working on? Are we going to need more of that to clarify it for all of us? Is that the path?
I think we need more of that. That will be a solution that takes quite a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, another solution that's going to take quite a bit of time is getting through the appellate courts and having some decisions that are set the precedent I would say I practice primarily in the Ingham, Eaton, and Clinton County courts. And even from judge to judge, it's very difficult to tell a client what they are or are not going to be able to do. For instance, if they're placed on probation and they want to use medical marijuana for a very legitimate reason.
Well, Nicole, I can't thank you enough for your time this evening. We'll be talking again, I'm sure, because there are going to be a lot more interesting cases come up that we haven't even thought of yet.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. I'll be glad to assist in any way I can.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You as well.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Nicole Dirks, who's an attorney with Foster Swift, Collins and Smith in Lansing. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.